That's a lovely hymn. The son of the man who wrote that hymn was pastor in Cardiff when I was in Cardiff back in the early 80s, and he certainly knew a move of God in the north of Scotland. It was out of that move that that hymn actually came. And I remember going along one Sunday evening when I was free to go and hear his son preach, and he preached on the death of Absalom. And when Absalom was slain by Joab, remember how David wept and said, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son." And believe me, the way he preached, I thought he'd actually lost his own son. Very passionate. Never forgotten that. Very, very powerful indeed. So that's a bit of a blast from the past for me. And thank you for choosing that. Do you know, for the past 40 years, every Sunday, week in, week out, and also midweek, I've just been expounding God's word. And I virtually preach my way through the whole of Scripture. And I try to preach on books, and I try to preach on themes, try to preach on topics. I don't want to be predictable in the sense that folk can set their watch by you, thinking, well, you know, an illustration to start with, 3 points, a nice story to finish with, then we all go home. And one of the great things about coming away from your own pulpit to preach is that you can do some things maybe slightly differently. And I was reading the Acts of the Apostles just a couple of weeks ago and saw something I'd never seen in my entire life. And I want to pull out 2 verses from the Acts of the Apostles, and I want to read them, and then I want to explain them, and I want to bring them together so that you may say, not what a brilliant sermon, but how come I never saw that before? And my understanding of God's word is that God's word is relevant for now. I'm not just a history teller going through history and explaining what you can already see in the Bible. In fact, some preaching is so insulting. You mean you read the passage with everybody and then basically just retell the passage and think, well, my people could do that. Why have they come out tonight? It's making God's word relevant to where we are today. And therefore, I want to speak on 2 verses and bring them together. In Acts chapter 19, verse 37, it says this, Acts 19, verse 37, "Seeing that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly." Seeing as these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet. You just keep your mouth closed. And then in the end of the book, Acts chapter 28, verse 22, we have this, "But we desire to hear of you and what you think, for as concerning this sect, we know nothing that everywhere it is spoken against." You say, what strange verses they are. Let me explain them and put them in their context and try and make it relevant to where we are. The first verse was spoken in Ephesus. If you've ever been to Western Turkey on a holiday, you've probably been to Ephesus to see the ruins of Ephesus. The Apostle Paul was in Ephesus for about 3 years. It was a wonderful, wonderful base. And while he was there, he would go out on different missions and had different people help him. Ephesus was known for a number of things, but the main thing that everyone saw when they went to Ephesus was the Temple of Diana. It's like in the days of the Lord Jesus, anybody going to Jerusalem, the first thing that would hit them was the temple. The temple and its grounds covered 39 acres. It was huge. So you could not go to Jerusalem without seeing the temple. Likewise, you could not go to Ephesus without seeing the Temple of Diana. If you've ever been to Athens and seen the Parthenon, that's a shed. The Temple of Diana, 4 times larger than the Parthenon. Incredible. 425 feet long and 220 feet wide, 60 feet high. And within the temple were 126 pillars. And 36 of those were gilded with gold. And if you've ever been to Istanbul, to what is called San Sophia, if you go there, you will see some of the pillars from the Temple of Diana. You can kind of touch them and think, I'm touching a bit of history here. It was the place to go. And Diana, well, she was big business. Do you know, religion's always big business. It's interesting, isn't it? The gospel of Jesus Christ is free, but religion's very, very expensive. It's free to worship the Lord Jesus. Salvation is free. I mean, it's wonderful because he's paid the price. But religion is very, very costly. And, you know, sort of unspiritual churches have thermometers outside. Have you seen those churches? Okay, spiritual churches have thermometers inside, always asking for money. In fact, my next door neighbour who died earlier this year, she was a practicing Roman Catholic, but never went to church at all, never read the Bible. And I remember saying to her, "Joan, why don't you go to church?" She said, "Every time I went, they were asking for money. And I'm tired of it." And I try to offer the free gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that's another story in itself. Religion is costly. Well, Diana was kind of big business. Statues, icons, trinkets, you name it, they were there. Paul went there. He didn't insult the Ephesians by saying, "This is nonsense." He just spoke about the Lord Jesus. He lifted the Lord Jesus high. And as he lifted the Lord Jesus high, Diana began to fall. And people who were involved in the religion and the worship of Diana got very, very upset. So much so, there was a riot. It seems that wherever Paul went, there was a kind of either a revival or a riot. Remember hearing John Stott say, "Wherever I go, they just give out cups of tea." No offense to those on the tea rota tonight, but and I heard one man say that, you know, wherever Paul went to a new city, the first place he looked at was the local prison, because he knew by the time he'd finished there, he'd be finishing there, you know. So here's the Apostle Paul. He's lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. The worshippers of Diana in this huge building got upset. Oh, it's affecting our economy. And so there was a riot. The governor, who was answerable to Rome, turned up and said, "Look, this is ridiculous. You know that Rome doesn't like riots, so stop it. Because if this continues and word goes back to the headquarters, there's a riot in Ephesus and it's happening on a regular basis, in will come the troops, we're in for trouble. So don't be so stupid." And by the way, everyone knows, you cannot speak against Diana. We all know that. Diana is the goddess of the Ephesians. So what are you getting stressed about? Go home, be quiet, because nobody dare touch Diana. You're right. So they went home. Well, we're living in 2023 and we're a long way from Ephesus, and we're living in slightly different days. But you know something? It's becoming very clear to me that there are certain Dianas in our nation that you cannot speak against. And as soon as you do, there's a riot. And not even speaking against those Dianas in a kind of outspoken way, but just lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ and his word brings Diana down, and then suddenly there's a riot going, "You've no right to say that. How dare you say that?" And then you're in trouble. And it's never been so dangerous to be a preacher than in 2023. It's never been so dangerous in this country of ours. I've just noticed a number of Dianas that I keep bumping into as I go around life, even in our village. There is the Diana of, I'm allowed to say this, evolution. We all know, you see, that in the beginning there was nothing, and it exploded, and the world came together. And we talk about these things, and words like millions and billions and trillions trip off our lips, and no one bats an eyelid. And I find it interesting, while watching the television or maybe reading things or hear people maybe at a public lecture, they speak with great authority and certainty about things that took place 60 million years ago. And I'm thinking, crikey, what did I have for my tea last week? And then you say, well, do you know, when I turn to the Word of God, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Where have you come from? Where have you come from? How dare you speak such rubbish? And so now, there was a time when I was in school, and that was a few decades ago, at least the education authority had the grace to say, there are different understandings of this. But not now. This is the only way it happened. in the beginning, there was nothing. It exploded, and everything has come from nothing like that. Do you know, at the heart of evolution, this is not me speaking. This is evolution is speaking. At the heart of evolution is death. The engine that drives evolution is death. It's called survival of the fittest. And so we get better and better as things die, because the weak and the insipid die out, but the stronger survive and they breathe, and therefore we're getting better and better and stronger and stronger. But I haven't been to that expression. It's come from them. Well, that's fine in textbooks, but when you start to spell that out in detail, folk get angry with you. So, for example, Charles Darwin lost 3 of his children to early deaths. It totally disorientated him. It threw him. I'd love to say quietly, maybe like Michael Parkinson interviewing, Charles, do you mind if I say something? It's you who's taught me survival of the fittest. Maybe your children weren't fit. Maybe that's why they died, because they weren't the fittest. And therefore, just as we need to get the best to go on, I'm sorry to say, perhaps your children just weren't fit enough. That's why they died. You see, it's all right in a textbook, but when it comes in through your front door, it's a different issue altogether. And then, do you remember those days? I suddenly feel I've just lost a chunk of my life. It's called COVID. And you suddenly think, what was I doing in 2020? And I said to my wife, what were we doing then? Which walk were we going on around the village? 3 million people apparently had their deaths attributed to COVID. The world was an uproar. The world shut down. I was amazed how the world closed virtually overnight. Me in my naivety kind of tried to keep the church open as long as possible. And on the first Sunday that kind of it came, I just sort of sat back thinking, well, this is an unexpected sabbatical. I'll be right in 3 weeks. 3 weeks! Excuse me, if evolution is true, I say this carefully. I'm not saying it because I believe it, but I'm only putting the theory into practice. Maybe the reason why 3 million people died is because they were the weakest. Survival of the fittest. And I'm sorry, you know how dinosaurs, maybe some virus wiped them out because they weren't strong enough? Well, if we're just part of the evolutionary train, I'm really, really sorry we just lost 3 million people, but it was nature's way of thinning out the weak. When you say that, folk get very angry with you. How dare you say that? Oh, excuse me, that's what you tell me. I don't believe that. My understanding is that we are made in the image of God, and that whatever your situation, whether you're strong or weak, whether you're male or female, whatever the color of your skin, God is for you. And God is for those kind of situations. But I'm only putting your theory into practice. You dare not say those things. Folk get angry with you. And then there's another popular Diana. It's called Diana of Diversity. Now, it does get tricky, doesn't it? When you say that you open the Word of God and you believe that the Bible is God's Word, and it says, in the beginning God created male and female, you try that in the NHS. You try that in your local bank, if you can find one. Do you know, on Facebook, if you sign up to Facebook, there are 74 gender identities. If you can't sleep tonight, just lie there thinking, okay, there's male, that's one, there's female, that's two. Right, what are the other 72? That's the kind of world we live in. And so when you say, well, it's pretty obvious that God made us male and female, but it becomes so bizarre that we now live in a world where folk don't know what a man is, what a woman is. And we hear so much these days about child abuse, and it's a terrible thing. But if you say, do you not think this kind of indoctrination is a form of mental child abuse? How dare you say that? How dare you say that? I'm going to close you down. And then we have plenty of evidence in relation to what happened to Nigel Farage, but put him on one side, it brought to the surface many people's stories who said, I only asked a simple question in the bank and my account was closed. Oh, so I didn't know that people's personal understanding of things set the tone for whether I could have a bank account or not. What do you bring that in? And so what happens? We now have this Diana of diversity that you dare not question. And one feels very sorry for parents who have tried to bring these issues up in school meetings and the flack that they have received. No one speaks against diversity. And then there is the Diana of tolerance. We live in a multiracial society, therefore we have to live together cheek by jowl, therefore we have to get on together. And that's right and proper. There are people in our village, even though it's a country village, different color skin, different religion, different way of understanding life, but we respect each other. But it's got to the stage now where one cannot even speak about the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so simple verses like John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me will get you into massive trouble. Massive, massive trouble. And by the way, we don't do Christian now in this country anymore because it offends people. Do you know something? I've never met one person who's been offended. So who are these people? And yet I go into my local supermarket and it's pushed in my face. We are celebrating Diwali. Or we're celebrating Eid. And we have the Eid aisle and the Diwali aisle. But when it comes to Christmas, it's Father Christmas. In fact, Christmas has gone, hasn't it? It's the winter festival. And Easter is a spring bank holiday. And out with school assemblies and singing hymns and reading the Bible. In fact, let's take Bibles out of hospitals altogether, because that's oppressive. Who do you think you are? And speak to people who are involved in Good News for Everyone and the old Gideons as well, the kind of the difficulties that they have. And then who didn't watch the King's coronation? Many folks saw what happened down in London, but who actually saw what happened in St. Giles' Cathedral in Edinburgh? Where every religion under the sun was there praying a blessing on our king. You name the religion, they were there. Why? Well, multiracial, multi-faith. Yes, but when it came to the coronation, the gentleman from Scotland handed the king the word of God. But we know it was just a formality. Because this word speaks about the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. But to get around it these days, we speak about British values. Have you noticed that? I was a school governor. Talk about British values, David. What on earth are British values? To be honest, I find that quite racist. As if we've got British values and the rest of you, you need to come up to our standard. My dear friends, when you start to read the newspaper, you wonder what values we have at all, to be honest. But no, you don't speak against evolution. No. And you certainly don't speak against diversity. And you don't speak against this business of tolerance. And if you do, you're arrogant. Oh, and then there's one more. We could be here all night, couldn't we? The Diana of wokeism. A tsunami of wokeism has washed over our country, in which people are looking to see abuse everywhere. Everywhere. Social abuse, political abuse, racial abuse, gender abuse. And so our nation is filled with woke warriors, listening into conversations, reading a book not to be sort of thrilled by it. Ah, yeah, this is racist, get it out. Yeah, that's wrong, get it out. Until in the end, there's nothing left. Not that we condone the past, but we learn from it. I've made many mistakes in my life. I don't destroy myself. I say, David, you've made many mistakes. Learn from them to be a better person. Pass what you've learned on to others. But now we have this kind of wokeism where we destroy absolutely everything. But you know something? The more you've been abused, the bigger hero you become. I'm black. Ah, you were probably abused by somebody white. It's great to see you. And by the way, I have nothing against black people. Oh, I'm lesbian. Ah, you were probably abused by some heterosexual person who's narrow-minded. We're so sorry for that. Oh, here's another notch in your favor. And on it goes. I'm a woman. Ah, it's men who's probably messed your life up. And so you get out of bed. A white, Christian, male, you feel guilty before you started the day. What have I done wrong? And woe betide anybody who says, don't be so stupid. Don't be so stupid. We're not a racist. There's faults in all of us. Whether you're male or female, black or white, whatever. We all make mistakes. That's why we have a savior. But no. Here's Diana. We know nobody speaks against Diana. Cause us trouble if you do. We're now becoming like Ephesus 2023. You want to shorten your career at work? Just speak against these Dianas. You want early retirement? Speak against these Dianas. You'll be in trouble with the authorities. And who knows, when that starts to happen, maybe Christian churches will not be too keen to put their services on the internet. Why advertise to the world what you're doing? But then there's Rome. Here's the Apostle Paul. He spent 3 years in Ephesus, and it was a wonderful base. Towards the end of his life, he was arrested in Jerusalem, and he was shipped out to Rome. He was held for 2 years in Jerusalem. Well, in Caesarea, to be honest, and then he took, it was like traveling in the 21st century. It took a long time to get from Caesarea to Rome, but he got there eventually. And then when he was in Rome, he was put under house arrest for 2 years. Wow, nearly 5 years were wiped out of that man's life. That was probably his COVID. And those 5 years were spent in prison. And then this kind of arrest he was under in Rome was a house arrest. It'd still be in chains, but you had the freedom, and there was always soldiers around, but you had freedom to invite friends. And being a Jew, he thought, right, I've got a sort of an audience here. I'll write to all the Jewish leaders in Rome and say, I don't know if you've heard about me, but I'm under arrest. Would you like to come and chat with me about why I'm under arrest and what's going on in Jerusalem? And any news from Jerusalem, we've got to go along. And so the authorities, the kind of the Jewish authorities who were in Rome came along and they met Paul. They hadn't heard of him. That's a bit humbling for preachers, isn't it? Have you heard of me? No, not at all. Have you not seen my YouTube channel? No. Well, I'm a Christian. Oh, we've heard of that. Because everywhere it is spoken against. Oh, you can't speak against Diana. But everywhere, this sect, Christianity, is spoken against. We now find ourselves in that kind of situation where almost everywhere you go, the things of God are spoken against. I don't care what you say about me. Say what you like about me. I know what I'm like. And if you want to say a few negative things about the Christian church, I probably would agree, because sometimes she deserves it. But don't speak against my Savior. Do you know something? He's the most beautiful person I've ever met in my life. Have you thought about it? We only need six people like Genghis Khan, Pol Pot, Hitler, Stalin, Saddam Hussein, Colonel Gaddafi. We're back in the Stone Age. And here's the most beautiful person the world has ever known. He went around forgiving people of their sins. He went around cleansing lepers. He went liberating people who were bound by the demonic. He actually resurrected the dead. And what was the world's response? They put him on a tree. We don't want this man. No. We would rather our Dianas than you. And how interesting that 2,000 years later this is now being reenacted in our own country. Something I would never have imagined 60 years ago. It came as no surprise to Mary, his mother. When the Lord Jesus had been born, Mary went along to the temple, and there she met an old man called Simeon. And how about this? God said to Simeon, "You will not die until you see this boy." Simeon was immortal until he saw the Lord Jesus. And he knew when he had a bad day. Do you ever have those bad days? Have a bad weekend, feel a bit rough? Yeah, he knew even when he was not very well, it wasn't the end because he hadn't seen this boy. And then it says, when he saw him, he took him in his arms. Beautiful, beautiful. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen. Do you know something? When you have seen Jesus and embraced him, you're ready to go. By the way, I know it's just an argument from silence. We read that Simeon picked him up. We never really put him down again. Now, of course he did. But it's a powerful thought, isn't it? He picked up the Lord Jesus. And he said to Mary, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. And Hebrews 12 verse 3 puts it like this, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself." What is it you don't like about the Lord Jesus? He's not a suicide bomber. He doesn't poison people. He doesn't abuse people. He comes and shows God's grace and God's mercy. He shows us why we're here, what eternity is about. And people go, "I'm not interested in him." Well, in God's name, what are you interested in then? Who's going to win the championship? Who's going to win the premiership? Who's going to win the World Cup? Is that all you're interested in? Who's going to win Strictly? Is that it? Here's a man who is God incarnate, who comes from eternity into time to tell us about eternity. And folks say, "Give us Diana any day." Yeah, but she's dead. Give us Diana any day. And I tell you, as a pastor, having preached at many non-Christian funerals, sometimes it's like banging your head against a wall. Folk are just not interested. We shouldn't be surprised at this. Peter, in his first epistle, put it like this in chapter 2, verse 12. "They will speak against you as evildoers." Chapter 3, 16. "They will defame you as evildoers." 4, verse 4. "They will speak evil of you." 4, 14. "If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you." 4, 16. "If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed." Do you know the expression "pinata donkey"? Do you know what a pinata donkey is? Now, I can see some of you going to go home and Google it, going, "Ooh." Gosh, we've been educated out in the countryside here. It's one of those donkeys that you kind of hang up a party. It's full of sweets and things. It's a bit macabre, really, but anyway, there we are. And everyone's given a stick, and they all beat the donkey to get all the sweets to fall out. I can see you're going to have a great time Christmas 2023 here with your church social. I've come to realize that my Savior, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, is becoming a bit of a panata donkey in this country. But not for the sweets and the goodness, just for the sake of beating him. What is our answer to this? It is the church must be the kind of people that God intends us to be. As we live in this kind of environment, when I read the New Testament, Paul had one very simple message to the church: be righteous and be ready. Live a righteous life and be ready. We cannot change the day and age in which we live, and how I kind of wish we could. I was on holiday just a few months ago in Wales with my wife, and I made an appointment to see a gentleman who knew where two people were buried. People that I wanted to see. Well, not them, but their gravestones. His father sat under, he was an elderly man that I saw. His father sat under one of the leaders of the 1904 revival. That's when over 80,000 people became Christians just 100 years ago in Wales. And I knew the chapel. And I said to him, as a young boy, what was it like going to church over 70 years ago? He said, the place was packed. He said, there were 500 there every Sunday. I said, where's the chapel now? He said, it's gone, it's flats. It's gone in 100 years. The change that we've seen in our country is colossal. I long for those days, but they're not there, so it's no use pretending they're here. These are the days in which we live. We find ourselves either saying, do I speak against Diana? Or do I speak against the Lord Jesus? But to be quite frank with you, we're not called to go and speak against Diana. What we are called to do is to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're here to do. And Peter put it so powerfully in that little letter that he wrote. He said, be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within you. With meekness. With meekness. We're not here to throttle people. I'm not here to rubbish people. If they want to worship Diana, that's between them and their Diana. We are called to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And to do something in 74 countries of the world, if you do that, it is a legal offense. 74 countries. And the top five countries where it's an offense: North Korea, Somalia, the Yemen, Eritrea, and Libya. We hear a lot these days about what's going on in China, and probably most of us have got things that we've got from China. If you don't believe me, just look at the label. Not now. Do you know, in China, you cannot go to church if you are under 18. It's coming in. And if you do, you go to a state-registered church where you cannot be publicly baptized. Baptism is out by immersion. Informal Bible studies are out. And any preaching must not mention, here it is, the virgin birth, the resurrection, and the second coming of the Lord Jesus. By the way, Vladimir Putin only tolerates the Orthodox Church because it underlines his policies. I think of people in the Bible like Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, who when they were faced with the Dianas of their day and age, they purposed in their hearts that they would not defile themselves with the king's meat, but that they would serve the Lord. I can't believe I've been reading the Acts of the Apostles for over 50 years. I've never seen this. Diana? You don't speak against her. But Jesus, say what you want. Say what you want. My dear friends, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, if you're ashamed of me, when it comes to the judgment day, I'll be ashamed of you. And why would I want to be ashamed of a man who came all the way from glory to take my sin? And to move it by paying the price for it and then giving me eternal life. Why would I be ashamed of him? It's the greatest thing I could ever receive. It's eternal life. And this is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. It's not kind of putting a pair of boxing gloves on and fighting every Tom, Dick and Harry in the street. No, Christianity is being dealt with by Jesus Christ, having your sins forgiven, And then living a living relationship with him, saying, Lord, this is the time in which I'm living. Would you help me get through each day, each week, each month for you? That I may get to the end of my life and say, Lord, I've made many mistakes, but thank God you've been my Savior. I dread to think, Lord, where I would have finished up without you saving me and sustaining me and bringing me home to glory. My dear friends, why is the Christian church not full? Because that's a glorious message. What's the alternative? Always look on the bright side. But believe me, I look on the bright side every day. I don't see many days coming, do you? You think, help, winter's coming. Gas, electricity. What's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. But I know this. Jesus said, Lo, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Do you think, having come all the way from glory, and paying for our sin, he'll then let us go at the end? He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over, all my joys in him complete. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. No, I'm not going to go out with a campaign against all these Dianas. In their time, God will bring them down. He said, go into all the world and make disciples of all people. We are not iconoclasts. We are evangelists, telling people there's a wonderful Savior called Jesus Christ. He saved me. If he can save me, believe me, there's hope for you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, these are strange days in which we live. Lord, all of us sitting here would never have imagined this in 1950, 1960, 1970. But here we are, 2023, with Dianas multiplying by the year. But Father, we give you thanks for all these Dianas. All that we need is one Savior. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. What a Savior. And Father, I give you thanks that your Son came into this world to save people like us. Oh, Father, save us. Break into our lives. Grab hold of us. Wash us and cleanse us. Renew us. Set our feet on a firm and a solid foundation. Point us in the right direction. And Father, take us each step of the way that when we get home, we'll say, this is the man who saved me. This is my Savior. Father, we ask and pray, give us the strength to be true to the Lord Jesus. And Lord, take hold of these words. If I'm wrong, Lord, I'm sorry. Didn't do it intentionally. But if this is of you, underline it by the Holy Spirit. And may it resonate in our hearts. Because I ask this in our Savior's lovely name. Amen. Amen.